Take your Bibles, if you would, and open to the book of Galatians in chapter 6. Now, some of you are scratching your head going, wait a minute, I thought we were in Philippians. Well, generally we are, but not today. This is a message that has been on my heart for some time, and I don't really know why. And sometimes the Lord does that, and it's better that I just let Him worry about why, and I preach what He tells me to preach. And so I don't generally preach topical messages. I usually do expository sermons, but this was something that I have felt the need to share for a while, and so this seemed like a good time. We're going to be talking about the law of the harvest. The law of the harvest. So if you're not there yet, look in Galatians chapter 6, Galatians chapter 6, and look with me there beginning in verse 6. The Bible says, "Let the one who is taught the word share all good things with the one who teaches. Do not be deceived. God is not mocked. For whatever one sows, that will he also reap. For the one who sows to his own flesh will from the flesh reap corruption. But the one who sows to the Spirit will from the Spirit reap eternal life. And let us not grow weary of doing good, for in due season we will reap if we do not give up. So then, as we have opportunity, let us do good to everyone, and especially to those who are of the household of faith." Well, you know, there are all kinds of laws to which we are subject in this life. There is the law of the Old Testament, which we studied not too long ago on Wednesday nights, when we discovered it's divided into three parts. There's the moral law and the ceremonial law and the civil law. And you remember that the moral laws are laws of right and wrong. Thou shalt not steal. Thou shalt not kill. Thou shalt not commit adultery. And there are different kinds of moral laws, which we're not going to take time to discuss this morning. And then we saw that there are ceremonial laws. Those were laws pertaining to the sacrificial system in the Old Testament, such as the sacrifice of a lamb that was required to be without spot and without blemish because it was a picture of the coming Lord Jesus Christ. And then there are civil laws, which are laws for governing the nation. They had those in biblical times, and of course we have civil laws today. We also know that there are other kinds of laws. There are laws of physics, so-called laws of nature, that God has instituted in His creation. And God works normally according to fixed laws in the physical universe. An example of a law in the physical realm would be gravity. Gravity is a fixed law. If you step off of a building, you don't break the law of gravity, you demonstrate it. You don't break it, it breaks you. It's a fixed law, and you can't suspend it. God can, but we can't. As a matter of fact, God's suspending or changing or intervening in those physical laws is the very definition of a miracle, such as Jesus walking on the water. God stepped in and suspended laws in order for those miraculous things to take place. And you might say, well, you know, what about airplanes, BJ? Don't they suspend the laws of gravity? No, airplanes fly because other laws supersede the law of gravity. There's lift that is created by the curvature of the wings, and then there's thrust that's created by a propeller or a jet engine. You remember when you were in school studying Newton's third law of motion, for every force there is an equal and opposite force, and when an engine pushes in one direction, motion occurs in the other direction. And when you put those laws together in the right proportion, they supersede gravity. But gravity is still there. And the minute that you change or diminish those other laws, then gravity takes over. There is the law of centrifugal force. You can take a bucket of water and swing it around on a rope, and the water won't spill, even though it may be on its side or even upside down when you swing it around. These are universal laws that are built in creation. But did you know that God works also according to fixed laws in the spiritual realm as well? God is a God of order, and He leaves nothing to chance. And there is another fixed law that I want to talk about today. And this one exists in the physical world, but it overlaps into the spiritual world. And it's called the law of the harvest. And it is just as certain and just as sure as any of these other laws that I've mentioned this morning. And so today, I want you to notice seven principles that are part of the law of the harvest. Now, sometimes we see these harvest principles used negatively as a warning. As a matter of fact, we see it used that way in our text. The Bible says, "Whatsoever a man shall sow, that shall he also reap. If a man sow to the flesh, he shall reap of the flesh corruption." And so you see it there used in a negative format. But harvest principles also work positively. The text also says, "But he that sows to the Spirit shall reap of the Spirit life everlasting." But just like the physical laws, the law of the harvest can only be changed, can only be broken or intervened by God. And so just like a civil law, like the speed limit law, it behooves us, that's a good word, I've been looking for an excuse to use that, it behooves us to learn, obey, and enjoy the attributes of this law in order to live wisely and abundantly as God promised. All right, are you ready? Let's talk about these harvest principles. Number one, the first principle is this: you can only reap what has been sown. You can only reap what has been sown. In all of life, both physical and spiritual, reaping is the result of sowing. That is, there is no reaping unless there's sowing, right? If you don't plant, you don't harvest. I love fresh tomatoes, and it would be nice if I could go out into my backyard and I could pick some tomatoes. But you know what I've noticed? I've noticed that unless I or someone else planted tomatoes, there's no chance of that happening. and I'm not going to be able to go out and pick tomatoes if I didn't plant them. Why? Because you can only reap what has been sown. Mark chapter 4. Mark chapter 4 and verse 26. Mark chapter 4 and verse 26 says, "He also said, this is what the kingdom of God is like. A man scatters seed on the ground." Now, I don't know if you ever thought about it or not, but seeds are amazing things. I mean, you can take watermelon seeds and put them in the ground, and they suck all the watermelons out of the ground. Seeds are amazing things. Now, look, beginning in verse 27 there also. "Night and day, whether he sleeps or gets up, the seed sprouts and grows, though he does not know how. All by itself, the soil produces grain, first the stalk, then the head, and then the full kernel in the head." Reaping is the result of sowing. But I want you to notice that Jesus said, this is not just in farming. He says in verse 26, this is what the kingdom of God is like. What does he mean by that? Well, he means that these principles apply on the spiritual level as well. He means that the laws of the harvest also govern many aspects of the Christian life. And as we proceed this morning, you will, I think, I hope, understand that clearly. So first of all, understand that there is no reaping without sowing. That's number one. Number two, you reap the same as has been sown. You reap the same as has been sown. Our text says, "For whatever a man sows," what? that shall he also reap. See, you can't sow one thing and reap something else. You can't sow one thing and reap something else. Take your Bibles and turn over to Genesis chapter 1 for just a minute. Let me show you something. Genesis chapter 1. That's over at the beginning of the Bible. Genesis chapter 1. And look with me there, beginning in verse 11. Verses 11 and 12. Genesis 1, verses 11 and 12. Then God said, let the land produce vegetation, seed-bearing plants and trees on the land that bear fruit with seed in it, according to their various kinds. And it was so. And the land produced vegetation, plants bearing seed, according to their kinds, and trees bearing fruit and seeds in it, according to their kinds. And God saw that it was good. Now, I want you to notice something in those verses. I want you to notice a phrase that is repeated three times in those verses. And that phrase is, according to their kinds. According to their kinds. According to their kinds. What does that mean? Well, it means that like produces like. Okay, write that down. Like produces like. In other words, roses come from roses, right? Horses come from horses. And I want you to see that this is an incredible little nugget of truth that is tucked away in the first book of the Bible that teaches that there can be no such thing as macroevolution, which is where one species emerges from another. You see, fish don't become mammals. Birds don't evolve into dinosaurs or vice versa. Whether plant or animal, you reap what you sow. You don't plant corn and get wheat. You don't sow discord and reap unity. You don't sow hypocrisy and reap holiness. What are you planting in your life? And that's a principle. That's a part of the application that I want you to make as we go through this. What are you planting in your life? Well, whatever it is, that's what you'll reap. You know, sometimes I hear people say, well, you know, young people just have to sow their wild oats. Listen to me. Look up here and look at your pastor. Listen to what I'm saying. That's a lie out of hell. That is a lie out of hell. Don't you program your kids or your grandkids with an excuse to rebel by holding that low expectation. They don't have to, but if they do, that's what they're going to reap. If you sow sexual promiscuity, you are going to reap problems in your marriage or sexually transmitted diseases or unplanned pregnancy. Some people think that they can sow their wild oats 6 days a week and then go to church on Sunday and pray for crop failure. It just doesn't work that way. Listen, God forgives the sin, but he doesn't prevent the harvest. Let me say that again. God forgives the sin, but he doesn't prevent the harvest. If you sin, you can come to God in repentance and he'll forgive you. And your church family will forgive you, but that doesn't mean there won't be consequences to pay. There will be a harvest. And this principle is true in how we raise our children, our grandchildren. Children become what we plant. I've known parents who told their kids that they would never amount to anything, and they didn't. Self-fulfilling prophecy. The kids just became what the parents expected, what they planted in them. I knew some parents who told their daughter that she was so stupid she'd be pregnant by the time she was 15. Guess what? She was. Because that's what they planted in her. I've known parents who constantly lied to their kids and couldn't understand why their kids lied to them. I also know parents, and we've tried to be these kinds of parents, and I know that so have many of you who sow the word of God into their children and watch them become men and women and servants of God. But I want you to know that even at that, there are negative things in the lives of some of our kids that are a direct result of negative things that I sowed into their lives without even realizing it. And it broke my heart to realize that. And folks, we need to be careful. We need to be careful about what we sow into our children, what we sow into our friends, into our neighbors. We have to be careful. But it is because it is an unfailing principle. It is an unbreakable law. The law of the harvest is the law that cannot be broken. Someone has written, if children live with criticism, they learn to criticize. If they live with hostility, they learn to fight. If they live with ridicule, they learn to be shy. If they live with shame, they learn to feel guilty. But if they live with tolerance, they learn to be patient. If they live with correction, they learn to be disciplined. If they live with encouragement, they learn confidence. If they live with praise, they learn to appreciate. If they live with fairness, they learn justice. If they live with security, they learn to have faith. If they live with approval, they learn to like themselves. If they live with acceptance, they learn to find love in the world. We sow and they reap what is sown into them. But this is not only true in children because, let me say it again, it is a universal principle and it works in all of life. And the thing that I want you to understand today is that we can make this principle work for us. Say, how is that? Well, for instance, determine what kind of Christian you want to be, what you want out of life, and begin to sow the seeds. You say, well, I don't have any friends. Well, then learn to be a friend. Proverbs 18:24 says, he who would have friends must show himself friendly. You will harvest what you plant. All right, so we can only harvest what has been planted. We will harvest what we plant. Number three, you reap later than you sow. Okay? Number three, you reap later than you sow. Galatians chapter 6 and verse 9, our text says, and let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. You know, you can't hurry the harvest, and we have to learn patience. And by the way, patience is not just the ability to wait, but rather how you wait. Because you can't hurry the harvest. You can't pull up the radishes and see if they're ripe and then stick them back in the ground. You just can't do that. James chapter 5, verse 7 says, be patient, therefore, brothers, until the coming of the Lord. See how the farmer waits for the precious fruit of the earth, being patient about it until it receives the early and the latter rains. We get impatient. And we want God to work in our time, but again, it doesn't work that way. Why? Because there is a seed time and a harvest. And you can't hurry the harvest. And that is true negatively as well as positively. You see, the reason people get into and stay in a sinful lifestyle is because they don't understand the law of the harvest. Ecclesiastes chapter 8 verse 11 says, when the sentence for a crime is not quickly carried out, the hearts of the people are filled with schemes to do wrong. They sin and nothing happens and they think they're getting away with it, and so they continue in their sin. You know, someone has said that the mills of God grind slowly, but they grind exceedingly fine. And eventually, in his time, according to his plan and purpose, God will bring the harvest. Romans chapter 12, verse 19 says, vengeance is mine, says the Lord, I will repay. Exodus chapter 34, verse 7 says, he does not leave the guilty unpunished. In Exodus chapter 23, as a matter of fact, turn over there. Back in the Old Testament, you were in Genesis, so just turn to the right one book, Exodus chapter 23. In Exodus chapter 23, God gave Israel a command. Now here's the command that God gave to Israel. God gave to Israel a command to farm their land for 6 years but then to allow the land to rest on the seventh year and not to plant anything on the seventh year. Make sure that they save up over those 6 years so they've got enough produce that they can make it on that seventh year, and to let the land rest so it can be restored, so that it can continue to be fertile. Look in Exodus chapter 23 and verse 10. He says there, for 6 years you are to sow your fields and harvest the crops, but during the seventh year, let the land lie unplowed and unused. Then the poor among your people may get food from it, and wild animals may eat what they leave. Do the same with your vineyard and your olive grove. But here's what happened. The people of Israel thought they were smarter than God. And so for 490 years, they broke that command and planted every year, and they never let the land rest, and nothing happened for 1,000 years. And then 1,000 years later, God sent Israel into captivity, into a foreign country, and they served pagan kings for how long? 70 years. Now, why 70 years? Take your Bibles and turn over to 2 Chronicles chapter 36. 2 Chronicles chapter 36. I want to show you something that I think you'll find very interesting. 2 Chronicles chapter 36. 2 Chronicles chapter 36. And look with me there in verse 21. 2 Chronicles chapter 36, verse 21. Look at what the Bible says. The land enjoyed its Sabbath rest. All the time of its desolation, it rested. That is, while the Israelites were away in captivity, all the time of its desolation, it rested until the 70 years were completed in fulfillment of the word of the Lord spoken by Jeremiah. 70 times 7 is what? 490. 1 year of captivity for every seventh year that Israel disobeyed the command of God to allow the land to rest. 1,000 years later. Listen, you reap later than you sow. Number four, you reap more than you sow. This is the principle, and this is very important. This is the principle of multiplication and intensification. And without this principle, it would make no sense to be a farmer. Without this principle, it would make no sense to be a farmer. You always get back more than you put in the ground, right? I mean, you plant a kernel of corn and you get an ear of corn with hundreds of kernels. That's why it's great to serve the Lord, because, for instance, who benefits the most from a Sunday school class? The teacher. Why? Because the teacher studies and prepares, and the more he puts in for those that he teaches, the more he gets out of it. You ask a soul winner who goes out and knocks on doors and shares the gospel, and you know what they'll tell you? Yes, people coming to faith in Christ, that's wonderful, but they'll tell you that theirs is the greatest reward. Why? Because you reap more than you sow. But closely related to that is another principle. Number five, you reap in proportion to how you sow. You reap in proportion to how you sow. Look over in 2 Corinthians for just a minute. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And look with me beginning in verse 6. 2 Corinthians 9 verses 6 and 7. 2 Corinthians 9, 6 and 7, the Bible says, remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. How do you want to reap? How do you want to reap? I mean, if you want a big harvest, sow a lot. If you want a little harvest, sow a little. When you give, don't give like you're wasting your money. I mean, what if a farmer lived like that? What if a farmer did that? What if a farmer thought like this? Well, you know, every seed that I put in the ground is lost. I'm just throwing it away. He wouldn't be much of a farmer, would he? He wouldn't sow much. What if the farmer's wife said, what are you doing with that seed? And the farmer said, well, you know, I'm planting it in the field. And she said, oh, no, you're not. That's our seed. We're making bread and feeding the family. You're not going to just throw that on the ground. And the farmer says, honey, I don't want to waste it either, but I'm not just throwing it on the ground because there's a principle at work here. Because in a handful of grain is a bushel of grain, and a bushel of grain is a truckload of grain. And so I don't just want to plant it. I want to plant a lot of it because I want a big harvest. What if a husband says to a wife, what are you going to do with that money? And she says, well, I'm going to take it to the church and I'm going to put it in the offering. I'm going to give it to the benevolent ministry. I'm going to give it to the mission offering. And he says, not our money, you're not. That's our money. We need that money. You're not going to just throw it away like that. And she says, well, I'm not throwing it away. I'm investing it in eternity. I'm planting it because I want a harvest. Listen, folks, here's the principle. If you want an abundance, scatter. If you want to be needy, hoard. You know, some people don't want to give because they don't know what the future holds, and they just want to play it safe. Well, here's what the Bible says. Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verse 4 says, whoever watches the wind will not plant. Whoever looks at the clouds will not reap. One of the farmers said, who knows what the weather's going to be? It might be too hot. It might be too wet. It might be too dry. I just don't think I'm going to plant anything this year. That'd be pretty silly, wouldn't it? And yet that's how many Christians do. They become spiritual wind watchers, and they let the seed rot in the barn and never plant and then complain because there's never a harvest. Listen, don't be so concerned with what the future holds. Instead, remember who holds the future. And then number six, you reap more if you cultivate what you've sown. You reap more if you cultivate what you've sown. You know, you just can't plant the seed and then go off and leave it and hope to have a good harvest. We tried that one time. We thought we were going to plant a garden, and our lifestyle was just not conducive to that because we had four kids and we were always going places and doing things with them, and there was just not time to take care of that and do the weeding and the cultivating and the garden. And when we came home, the weeds had just grown up, and I ended up just mowing the whole garden. You can't do that. Now, again, let me hasten to say that that principle is not true of everything. It's not? No, it's not. Did you ever notice that you don't have to cultivate weeds? Mm-hmm. Why not? Well, listen, and you'll learn something. Because that's the way the universe is wired. Remember that we live in a fallen world, okay? We live in a fallen world. And before sin entered the world, vegetables and fruit grew without cultivation. You didn't have to do all of that. But sin entered, and here's what God said. God said, cursed is the ground for thy sake. Thorns and thistles shall it bring forth, and by the sweat of your face you are going to earn your bread. That is, after sin entered, so did weeds, and so did thorns and thistles, and therefore it must be cultivated. And again, this is not only true in farming. Paul, speaking of a spiritual harvest, said, I planted, Apollos watered, that is, he cultivated, but God gave the increase. See, the way our universe works, because all creation was affected by the fall, the way our universe works is that because of sin, listen, because of sin, that which is evil does not have to be cultivated, but good always does. Have you ever thought about why you can remember in detail every dirty joke you ever heard, but it's so difficult to memorize scripture? Why is it? Why is it? Same principle. You see, your mind is like a garden with weeds that grow and increase without effort. But you have to cultivate your marriage. You have to cultivate your devotion life. And the reason that the Word of God is so important is because it is your spiritual weed killer, and we need to get in it every day and weed the garden and cultivate it to get the right kind of harvest. And then number seven, you may reap what others have sown. Look over in John chapter 4 for just a second. John chapter 4. John chapter 4, verses 37 and 38. John chapter 4, verses 37 and 38. Thus the saying, one sows and another reaps is true. I sent you to reap what you have not worked for. Others have done the hard work, and you have reaped the benefit of their labor. You see, we can reap what we have not sown. Once in a while, some dear soul will give me some fresh vegetables. What a blessing. They put in the work, and I reap the benefit. See, today we live in America where, at least for now, we have the freedom to cross state lines without a passport, to go where we want to, and to do what we want to without an armed escort. Why is that? Listen, because of patriots who went before us. We celebrated Memorial Day. Because of patriots who went before us and spilled their blood and planted the seeds of freedom, and we have reaped what we have sown. We have this place to worship, this beautiful building, this wonderful facility. Because of those who went before us, we reap where others have sown. Someone has said, if you succeed without suffering, it's because somebody else suffered before you. And if you suffer without succeeding, it simply means somebody else will succeed after you. But there is no success without suffering. There is no reaping without sowing. So how do we apply that spiritually? Well, we've talked about some of that. There are many ways that we can apply it. And I'm sure that if you're a Christian, that God has already spoken to you about some of those this morning. But if you're not saved, if you're not a Christian, if you're not a believer, remember that Jesus said in John 12:24, unless a grain of wheat fall on the ground, it abides alone, but if it die, it brings forth much fruit. What's he talking about? Well, Jesus was the grain of wheat, and he died, was planted in the ground, and God raised him up. And because of that, we can reap life eternal and life more abundantly. We benefit from what another has sown.